This is Henry and Seb, a podcast series of stories from my new book, Sir Henry Wood, Champion of J.S. Bach. It's about the bits that intrigued me most as I pieced together a jigsaw that had previously eluded historians and musicians. The founding conductor of the Proms, Henry Wood, turns out to be the missing link in the tale of how the music of Johann Sebastian Bach became popular in the UK. If it's a bit noisy, that's because I'm sitting on the steps of the Church of All Souls, Langham Place, in the heart of central London. And worry not, we'll go inside in a bit, but there's a point to this. In front of me is the glamorous Langham Hotel, and on the right, the Art Deco facade of BBC Old Broadcasting House, and to the left of me is Regent Street, heading south to the shops of Oxford Circus. If you squint a bit, you filter out the cars and the new buildings, the selfie sticks. This could be the 1930s, and it would be a scene that Henry Wood knew like the back of his hand. He was born and had grown up just around the corner on Oxford Street. He worked with the BBC from the late 1920s, and he stayed in the Langham Hotel for long periods, especially when his second wife was being a bit difficult. But the real key is in what we've missed out, what's behind us, or what should be behind us, the Queen's Hall. It had been built in 1893, and 2 years later, the impresario in charge, Robert Newman, took a major gamble on a young British conductor, Henry Wood, to put into practice his brainchild, the promenade concerts. They'd take away the seats in the middle of the hall, and they'd let people promenade, literally walk about. It was an old concept, but with aspirations to meet new audiences. Londoners who didn't go to the country estates for the season, but who had a little money to spend on going to a concert. When the 26-year-old Wood took to the podium in 1895, he and Newman had no idea that their harebrained scheme that nearly ran bankrupt in the very first year would eventually turn into the biggest classical music festival in the world. And in an era where the hansom cab was giving way to the motor car and most people heard only music live in town halls, churches or their own parlours, the promenade concerts took the exclusivity and the starch out of concert going. People could turn up to hear something that they thought they wanted to, but then on their walk to get ices or some more cigarettes, would overhear something new. And so Wood and Newman would eventually introduce hundreds of pieces of music, old and newly written, to a new public with an increasingly massive appetite for classical music. But back to Bach. When the Proms began, Bach had a reputation for being dry and dusty, a composer for academics, for organists, the preserve of geeks and specialist societies. But what Wood did at the Proms was to introduce Bach the composer of melodies, of dances and of song. He made arrangements, some of them exploding out to use a whole symphony orchestra, to convince people that the emotions in Bach were just as powerful as Wagner's or Tchaikovsky's. And then he repeatedly, annually programmed Brandenburg concertos, orchestral suites, instrumental concertos, arias from cantatas, until the public clamoured for more. Eventually, there were specific Bach nights, where almost all the pieces were by Bach, and on those occasions, Queen's Hall was filled to overflowing. But before I get into my stride, we were talking about the building that's supposed to be behind me, the Queen's Hall, the home of the Proms, and hundreds of other concert series and festivals too. In fact, it became known as the musical centre of the British Empire. It was beautiful, well, from the outside anyway. The inside was always said to be a bit of a drab colour, first browns, then greys, and then a mucky kind of blue. But it held around 3,000 people. And in the arena cleared for promenading, there was a fountain with pebbles, goldfish and water lilies. But most importantly, the acoustics were thought to be perfect. It became Wood's cultural and spiritual base. "If I go before you," he said one day to his beloved last partner, Jessie, "scatter my ashes on the roof." Well, that was before the night of the 10th of May 1941, the end of the first phase of the Blitz and the worst Luftwaffe air raid so far on London, the same one that hit the House of Commons and Westminster Abbey. Queen's Hall was bombed, and the fires that followed razed it to the ground. There are some famous photos of Henry Wood standing in the rubble just days later. There are offices here now, a hotel and a Pizza Express. in a brutal tower block that they called Henry Wood House. It's not quite what he had in mind, I don't think. And his ashes are elsewhere. We'll come to that later. But my bum's numb from these stone steps, so it's time to go inside. So on the one hand, we have the conductor, Sir Henry Wood, and on the other, the composer, Johann Sebastian Bach, likely known as Sebastian at home, hence the podcast title, Henry and Seb. And if you've chosen to listen to this, chances are you've probably heard of at least one of them. Frankly, I've been on a bit of an adventure in working out how and why Wood devoted so much time to Bach. When I started out, I was teaching at the Royal Academy of Music, which is where Wood's archive of scores and parts are kept. Box after box after box would arrive, and all the markings he made on them leapt off the pages. Most hadn't been touched since he last turned those pages, and I realised they told stories of performances and conversations that he'd had with great artists. I went through every single prom he conducted in his lifetime. That's between 1895 and 1944. And also the documents that I found with them, comments on performances, minutes from meetings, takings at the box office, popularity figures. And next was the commentary. That's reviews and announcements, opinions and gossip, not only in books, but in archives of newspapers and journals. Last was the players who played for him. Who were they? What did they stand for? And what did people think of their performances? Gradually, it came together. Surviving recordings matched up with the scores and those markings. Wood's own voice emerged in his writings about Bach. His passion was evident, not only in the sheer volume of stuff, but in the massive energy that might go into just one single documented performance of, say, an arrangement of a cantata. His determination in proving a point was shown through his adoption of a pseudonym. And in an archive detective trail, letters that turned up at the 11th hour were like a hand held out across time. And all this for the music of Bach was from a conductor who famously performed over 700 new works by more than 350 composers. So if this whets your appetite, listen on. We're headed for a candid lecture on the life and times of John Sebastian Bach, a mysterious Bach-mad Russian called Paul Klonowski, the first British edition of the Brandenburg Concertos, and a terrifying mob in the Matthew Passion, before we wonder why all of it was forgotten about and we find the real location of Wood's ashes.